Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I think that's where people get caught in not being honest, because they want to avoid the argument.
I also think that people are not being honest because they're shoplifting the pussy. Yo, what's up, Square Pimpergate? On this episode, we have my boy Mike Fenoy, a very funny dude. He's here. We discuss finding the best moments in the bedroom situation, not thinking about things negatively, organizing your life, and being with a career-driven woman. All really good stuff. Mike's really an open book, so I really enjoyed this one. So.
Yeah, man, it's a fun one. And if you love the show, and if you want more of the show, please join us over at patreon.com/manschool202. That's where we do all the bonus content, including listener mail, where we answer your questions. And this week, we continue our conversation with comedian Mike Fenoy as we talk about some interesting topics, including focusing on the positives, what makes a good relationship, and then managing your life when you have ADD and other mental difficulties. I don't know if that's the proper terminology.
I got it.
Whatever you want to call it. Whatever sickness. When you got that sickness in your brain.
You got the poison.
Well, you got a mental illness like I do. But if you need some help with your relationship and life advice, you could always do a consultation. You can email me at advicefromharry@gmail.com, and I can set up a time and give you the rates. And if you want a consultation from Dante, how do they find you?
DanteNero.com. Click on consult. You can hit me, get it right on my website.
So,
yo, let's get into it, bro.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man. Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't.
Yo, 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 what's up, y'all? GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited. What's going on, baby? How are you doing, though?
You know, if I said I could be doing better, I'd be lying, because I'm doing great, yeah. Goddammit.
It is. I feel you. I'm celebrating the lovely Columbus Day. Lovely punch an Indian in the face day. One of my favorite holidays of all time. So, and in
Italian Rapist Day, I like it. Take somebody land and then rape and pillage day.
It's the day to barbecue. Anyway, I'm ready to rock and roll. This is gonna be a special show. I know I've said this 500 times before, but this time I mean it. The guy I'm about to bring on, good friend of mine, one of those guys that I get a warm cockles in my heart whenever I see him. Really, really good guy. Good dude, funny dude. I like this dude a lot. Give it up for my boy Mike Fenoy, y'all. What up, Mike? What's going on, brother?
Guys, how are you? It's good to see you both. I wish we were in person. You're two guys I love to see.
We always give
Dante and I. We got good hugs. Remember a hug we came up with where we just put our bald heads together
and just
make
touch bald heads now. Yeah,
yeah. Got a special hug.
The rings.
Nice.
That's like the rings.
Yeah. And I'll form a bucket of water.
How are you,
Harry? The Wonder Twins.
I'm doing good, man. You know, I'm doing good. You know, nothing special going on, just hustling, and life is all right. You know, I'm trying to be better with being in the moment and not getting into the negative. I have my days where I go back and forth a little bit, but when I look back, I'm like, life is pretty good. I can't complain. Everybody in the family's healthy. I got a great girl. I just got back from a road gig that turned out to be a nice gig, you know.
Yeah. Oh, the road gig, it ended up being good.
It ended up being all right. I don't know if it was worth it financially, but it was a fun time. It was a good time. I was dreading it. I'm not going to lie.
You were really dreading. You were like, you had made up your mind right away that it was going to be a shit gig, you know.
Well, you know what happens is sometimes you get these gigs and the money's not great, right? The money's not great. and it's a little bit of a drive. It turned out to be nice in spite of the gig. The people were nice, but it just, again, logically, I can't do that again, right? Yeah. It turned out to be a nice trip, but financially, the amount of time I took, I could have spent it doing other stuff to better my career. If it's a long drive, it's about 4.5 hours, 5 hours each way. That's a long drive or whatever. I took my girl. We had a nice weekend, and that was fun. The people were very nice. The locals were very nice. The people of the show turned out great.
Those locals.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all right.
That's the thing, right? That's the part of this that's like, you know, part of living your dream is a nightmare. But also, it's, you know, when you make those trips, though, Harry, if you didn't, wouldn't you be kind of like, I wish I made that trip? You know what I mean? You're always regretting it if you don't sometimes, I feel.
I like the life experiences in it, and it's a gamble, and the gamble turned out good, but there's been days where that gamble turned out pretty rough.
Oh, of course.
You know what I mean? You do the gig, it's an awful... I mean, Dante and I did one that was... Everything about it was nice except the gig itself. You know, the pay was good, the room were good, the travel wasn't too bad, and then the gig ended up being a fucking nightmare. So sometimes you don't get all of it. So I take the blessings where you can, I guess, or whatever you call it. I'm not a religious guy, but
like, you still do those, Mike? You still do those shit gigs too sometimes?
I mean, like Harry said, I mean, sometimes it doesn't matter where it is. It could be the greatest place, and it turns out being a rough gig, or the drive is... Everything but the gig sucks, and then you get on stage and you're like, this is why I did this, you know?
Right,
it's
right,
worth it. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I think that, like, starting out, I would look at my calendar before the pandemic, and now I'm starting to more get back to that, where I'd look at the calendar and I would kind of, like, panic if it wasn't full.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it was just like, you don't see... The days that are full, the days that are not,
see the ones that are empty,
blinking at you, right? And it's that, like, you know, Harry, like you said, it's kind of thinking about the good and not the bad, right? Like trying to be positive instead of going like, look at this, I got 2 out of 4 weeks booked or whatever. It's
right,
like, why don't I have those other 2 booked? Like, what do I need to do to get work to do? And I would do anything I could to fill those calendar spots, and then I'd be on the road for 5-6 hours, whatever, you know, breaking in and all that, and I'm like, what the fuck, like, what did I do this for, you know?
It's fear. It's fear.
Yeah, well, it's those are the two places we operate from, right? Love or fear. I think that you're right, it's fear, but also it's like, you know, once you say no, or once you give yourself permission to have a weekend off, you're like, oh wow, I can do this, like I can actually value my time off instead, you know? But I'm sure going on the road with Dante, though, you're guaranteed good music is being played, and that's the most important
thing. I'm on the road with Dante, it's fun. That part is fun. This particular gig, there were no comedians coming up with me. I was meeting them there, so that part of it isn't part. I mean, I went up with my girl, so that was good. We had a good time. But it's interesting you talk about that, you know, because part of it is the adventure and the love. And then there's also a logical part. Like, I'm glad I did the gig, but the logical part in me has to go... Yeah, I can't do that again. In the sense of the money was not good enough. Like I did okay with it. Like I made more than I spent, but it's sort of like with the amount I put my car through, or if something went wrong, it's a little dicey, you know? So that's the balance you got to do. Like, that's the adventure of it. And that's why it's kind of a young man's game, because when you're 20s, you don't give a shit. Like, oh, let's just fucking do it. Let's just do something ridiculously irresponsible, and we'll worry about the consequences later. But
I'm glad that my gig was, because you know, I had a shit gig too.
Oh, you were telling me about this. What was that?
So it's a guy who's a big fan of mine, right? Mm-hmm. He calls me up last minute. It was local, right? But it was a private gig, birthday party, right? And I'm like, he was like, yo. Me and my wife, we came to see you, and we got there late, so we didn't see all of your set. So I really want to have you come to her birthday party and perform. So, you know, they don't know the elements of. So I'm trying to. Well, where are you having it at? Like, I was really trying not to do it, right? So it was like, well, you know, it's gonna be a party. So I know it's a birthday gig. What are we talking? Maybe 20 minutes. Maybe I have to do, you know, if it's rough and then a half hour, maybe I got to make. But I know I can fucking get away with that. But I just know it's a hate, and I don't want to do
a hard gig. It's not a comedy club. It's fighting with people for attention. It's also, if it doesn't go right and people start talking.
Let me explain to you what it was.
Okay.
Because
we met doing a shit gig.
It's at a karaoke bar, right?
Oof. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
So it's a private karaoke room. So you walk in the... First of all, it's in Bay Ridge, like Koreatown of Bay Ridge. So it's like... It's weird how they are... make you feel like you don't belong there, like in Koreatown. All of the doorways, I don't think any of the doorways were higher than 5 foot. It was like I was climbing in a treehouse, right? So you literally, the hallways, everything was like,
being John Malkovich, where it's
it was so, like, first the seventh it was, and that a half was weird. Floor. So you got to stoop down to get in this, which is, then you get in the room and the room is like, so it looks like a Mace video. It's just neon lights all over the room. They rented the private room. So there's no stage. I asked him if there was a stage. He said there's a platform. The platform was actually the DJ booth with a maybe 2x2 square with a speaker hanging above it, right? And then there's speakers all over the laying on the floor. You can like sit on the speakers. They're all there. Everybody's dressed, a black family, their friends, it's, you know, a couple of some cuties, whatever. But it was like not. So he was like, "Yo, here's the mic." Like, he just gave me. I go, no, you gotta tell them. Do they know that there's a comedy show? I mean, we wanted it to be a surprise.
No, absolutely not.
We don't need a surprise comedy show. I need you to get on the mic. I need you to tell them
the thing that people think is going to happen is that it's going to be like, shit. First of all, even though you have notoriety, you're not a like well-known celebrity, like where they're going to stop and go.
They love me. The couple loves you,
but that doesn't guarantee that
the rest of them have no idea who the fuck
right.
I am.
So
and
you're just the big guy coming in the room grabbing a microphone.
Yeah.
So it has all the subtlety of an airline hostage situation.
Plus, like, it was kind of Mace, like they were popping bottles, like they had, you know, where they had bottles with the juice and bottle service with ice. Everybody sitting on couches, just set up. There's no stage, there's no stool, the microphone has reverb on it, like I'm shooting a video. I thought I was like to sound like I had auto tunes on it, you know, so it makes
you're doing dub reggae into it.
Like, just you do one time in your mind. So I go and the guy goes, you have to let them know that there's a comedy show. You have to explain to them this is what it is. So they're like, you know, I get there at 1 because I was doing gigs in the city, and I was trying to not do it, right? So the guy asked me, it's 20 minutes. So I go, yeah, I couldn't do that for less than 2 G's, right? So
you're trying to price yourself out of it.
I'm trying to price myself out. And you know what, Harry? I've learned today. I'm worth 2 G's.
You couldn't price yourself out?
He didn't fucking blink. Nice. 2 G's, he didn't. Yeah, that's what you charge. That's what you charge. Like, motherfucker, right? So now how do I not do a gig but 2 stacks for 20 minutes?
For 20 minutes, yeah.
What is that, $100 a minute, right?
And you get a good story out of it too.
Jeez. And he gives me the mic. I go, no, you have to introduce me. You have to say happy birthday and this is special. Say something. I walk him through it. He gives me the mic. I sit on a speaker where I look like I'm sitting on a kitchen chair, right? And they're just, what the fuck is this? So I just shitted on his shitty intro. I shitted on the room. I
and then you're like $300.
Yeah,
$400. Right, $500.
And I've always said this, like I always tell Harry, I always look, if I have to, I'm at a place 22 years in, I'm not gonna do, if I gotta do something I don't like, when I leave, I wanna be able to just go, all right, you know, shit gig, but
see you later.
Two G's.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
At first I was going for $750 and I was like, he might have that paper. You know what I mean? Yeah, he might have that. I was like, he was like, I was
come
like,
up with that. Only... Him and his friends could split it. You go, that's not enough. You need
like,
to...
he could get up $750. I was like, two G's. I just knew he was gonna. Then he didn't call me. He didn't call me all week. He calls me the day of afternoon. Yo, I want to send you the address. Yo, can I venue mow you the money? Right. Motherfucker, this motherfucker. They really like me.
It's funny too when you do when someone hires you to do like a non-comedy club gig, yeah. Right? And it's like you want to kind of just be like, listen, take my advice. Like I do this, yeah. So please trust me. This doesn't have to be a 4-hour show.
No.
This doesn't have to be like, I was happy to hear that you only had to do 20 minutes because most of the time they're like, you know, like, can you bring a couple guys, each of you do an hour? And it's like, no, nobody wants to listen to.
Nobody wants to.
Everybody, like, we should all do 20 at the most. We'll do, you know, like, I think comedy shows are too long to start with.
Yeah.
And then they want you to do, like, you know, they either put you in between a raffle or after music or whatever.
This was literally karaoke.
Ugh.
So I kind of look like a dude who was doing karaoke, but I wasn't doing music. I'm going to just tell jokes.
Did the mic still have that reverb on it?
It had the whole time. You couldn't, I asked the DJ, who wasn't a DJ, was a guy with a laptop. He was like, yo, can we take the reverb? He goes, nah, y'all, we can't do all that. I was like,
all that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
It is incredible if you like just sit back and like think about like if someone told you about their worst day, but it's like a cubicle job, right? Like I've driven to Vermont and done shows where there was no sound system because like the guy who was bringing it broke down. But I'm here now and I got to do the show. And like we're using breadsticks as mics just to hold something.
Right.
It's like, do you ever do that? Like, you know, your Keurig broke in the office. Like, you know, it's some of the hotels we have to stay in.
I did a Mexican restaurant. They jacked a mic into the jukebox, and I stood on a chair in a stair alcove, which is because there was one time
man
when we was hanging I was years ago I was hanging out with Patrice and all them at the Cellar, and Billy Burr comes in. He talks about this. Comes in. He talks about a gig he does for Yankee tickets. And they asked him to do comedy on the bus bus to the Yankee. And we trashed Billy for 45 minutes. Like, where was the green one? The stairwell? How'd you know? How did they know they light lit you? What'd they do? Ring the bell on the, like, we just, we trashed. But
it's hard to say no sometimes. Yeah. Didn't I hear something that they were doing? They wanted to bring comedy onto airplanes for a while before the pandemic. I remember that. Yeah. I forget what airline it was, but I thought they wanted to bring on.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I've heard some funny, you know, some funny stewardesses, though, to have a good, nice little spiel where you're like, it was kind of cool. But my philosophy, Harry would say this, my philosophy is if it's a shit gig, I'm going to try and price you out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's maturity though. That's growing up. Cause before you go and early on and you go like, I can't say no to anything. when you're first starting out, you go like, I can't say no to anything. But then you go like, yeah, you know, that's if you if they'll meet match this insane number I'm going to throw at them.
Right.
Then sure.
I was mad at myself because I absolutely could have got $3,000. I could have did $3,000.
Now you're being like greedy on yourself because it worked out. Well, your plan worked out, and then you're like, it's not enough.
Did it really?
You made $2,000 for 20 minutes of work. You didn't have to drive 10 hours to go to Altoona, Pennsylvania.
No, I literally left Stand Up New York and drove and came across the bridge and went to Bay Ridge.
Yeah, you live in Brooklyn.
It was like 1:30. Like 1:30. As soon as I finished, everybody left.
Yeah.
DJ was just waiting for me to come on.
Harry,
he's going, wait, we got a surprise coming. So
you got to love when you're the surprise. You know, what's funny too, is I remember doing early on, I did a gig, private gig. And the minute I got there, they go, this is a clean gig. You got to be completely clean. And I'm like, oh, you tell me this now. And that had happened years before. And I flipped out and I'm like, you can't throw this on me now. And blah, blah, blah. You know, and I'm like, pissed off, screaming at the guy, and then I go on and try to be funny, and I'm already mad, and it went horrible.
Yeah,
But this time I'm like, all right, kind of expected this to happen, so I just popped the bubble right away, and I was like, so there's a priest in the room, I heard, right? And they were like, yeah, and I'm like, Father, I was just told this is supposed to be a clean show, and it's not going to be. So when I say earmuffs, that's when you cover your ears, and I'm going to say something you probably don't want to hear, you know? And then I afterwards kind of told the guy, like, listen, you got to let people know ahead of time because it's not fair to the comics, you know? Like, even if it's something that, you know, like, you got to just let them know.
And then the priest, you know, I mean,
he's cool as shit, man. It made it great.
Likes fucking kids, but hey, he doesn't want to. He doesn't like dirty jokes. Come on now, I mean, let's not be savage.
You know, the thing is, I'm trying to be more positive, and I think the big message with all this is not just talking about comedy, but trying to not be negative with everything you do and try to find the positivity. For me, though, it came apart because what it was presented that as kind of changed as it went along. So it changed the file. I was supposed to go up there with two other people, and then it kind of changed where they were going up there by themselves. So that automatically cuts the money that you're spending.
Right, because y'all were
going to
ride
gas.
Together.
Yeah.
That
type of thing. And
did
then
you
also
go there and back one night, or did you stay down?
No, we got a hotel. We stayed there one night. It was nice. Yeah, we stayed there. That part was fine. But then also I'm like, Jesus, I'm in a town by myself. I don't know what the fuck, because they're going to leave. They had to leave, the other two comics. Like, okay, so then I'm there by myself. Like, and nobody understood that, and you guys will understand that. Like, I don't know what's going to go down here. At least I have those other two. I don't know. Maybe they'll fight. I don't know. But, I just saw this video.
I know who you were doing the gig with. They weren't going to fight.
They wouldn't have. But I don't know. At least there'd be a body to get in the way to take one or two so I can at least have some time to set up to take out whoever I got. I don't know. It's a strange thing that you got to think that way. But I just saw a video today. I don't know if you saw this, Dante or Mike, that this woman had a beer can thrown at her.
Yeah,
while
I saw that.
Yeah. And that's what it's like.
She
now,
was at
right?
Uncle Vinny's.
Uncle, you've been there, yeah. You've been to Uncle Vinny's.
She was at Uncle Vinny's. This lady asked, well, did you vote for Trump? And she goes,
vote for Biden.
The difference, no, you voted for Biden. And she goes, yeah, so what? You can vote for every. And then she throws a beer can at this chick. She picks up the beer can and chugs it. Like you know, deep down she was if fearful of her life. When she
terrible
did.
That she's got a. I mean, she handled it. I mean, thank God she's all right. Good thing that thing didn't hit her in the head. You know.
Yeah.
But that's what you got. That's stuff. One of the things where like I can't believe now I got to drive down and you know you find out little by little. Oh, so you guys are fucking taking off when you're done.
Yeah.
So if you shit the bed, and it turned out that wasn't the case, but and I don't know if I'm being pessimistic, worst case scenario, but I got to worry about all that shit.
There's a thing called automatic negative thinking syndrome, ants, and it's like the minute that you hear a situation, your brain goes.
Harry don't have ants; he has roaches. I don't know what that stands for. But it's just bigger,
bigger ones.
Water bugs, Harry. Yeah.
It's ants carrying cockroaches.
Yeah.
They had a hotel across the street, man. I should have asked for a room. I was like, I need a room. Next time I'm going $3,000. From now, I'm going $3,000 and I need a room across the street. Yeah, but you live in Brooklyn. No, I need a room to spend all night so I can drive back in the morning. Fuck that.
Got to get ready, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah, Harry, well, that is a hard part. Going on the road alone is tough. I mean, even not for the whole worrying about getting a beer can thrown at you, just the time spent alone. Like, you know, like we've thought about that, talked about that a bunch. Like you go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday sometimes or whatever. And it's
that,
you know, there's some gigs where, you know, even if it's a showcase, like you go to a casino or whatever, right?
You're
in the hotel for 22 hours doing nothing. And then, you know, 4 or 5 hours till showtime, you start to get that, like, the ticking clock. Like, shit. Like, do I shower
now? Let me get a shower. Let me shave. I got to shave my head.
Do I like the shirt? Do I not? Do I, you know? And then you're just, like, pacing like a caged animal.
Yeah.
And then you go do the show. And before you know it, it's over. And then you're either back in your room.
Hanging out with some people that you would never hang out with ever.
And it's pent up energy that you're just kind of like, what do I do with this now? You know? And that's tough. You know what I mean?
I found that the money helps all of that. An exorbitant amount of money always
makes it.
It does make that easier.
An exorbitant amount of money. I was driving there
and like knew it was going to be a shit gig. And I was like, yeah, but you know, I'm walking out of here with two stacks real quick.
Did they enjoy it, the show? They actually did.
Some of them did. Some of them were just like stone facing. There was this really fucking smoking hot girl there. And I was doing my joke about therapy. And she was like, yeah, because sometimes you go to therapy and you gotta really open yourself up there. And I was like, you realize that we are in a karaoke spot. And this is just a setup for a joke, right? You realize that, right? So then she got really mad at me, right? she was smoking hot and dumb as a rock, right? So she was like, well, go ahead, continue then. And I was like, I'm sorry. I don't want to be in this fucking, I don't want to do this shit gig. I go, this guy Lyndon hired me because his girlfriend, and I don't even want to be here. So like, let me do the rest of these 4 minutes and we get the fuck out of here. But it is what it is. You still with your lady, Mike?
Yeah, man. Absolutely. And 10 years married now.
I think what's interesting about Mike is, Mike, do you still go up there or do you stay in the city now?
Back and forth.
Yeah, where do you stay now?
Yeah. Well, I'm. Hold on 1 second.
Where? Because Mike is. He had a distance thing, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm in like right outside New York, and I drive back in and out to do shows. So I'm with her all the time. We live together. Once the pandemic hit, I got rid of my place in Queens.
Right.
And I just commute in and out. So it's not bad though.
I know you had a place in. Yeah, I know you had a place in the city.
Well, the
and
minute
then you
the
would...
pandemic hit, it was like. Because I don't think we've, I mean, like, so the second it hit, it was like, do you remember it was like, they may block state borders. You may not be able to get out of state or in state, whatever.
I remember
I did a spot and I ran to my apartment and I grabbed as much shit as I could in a couple bags and I got, you know, headed out and stayed with her and then got rid of the place in Queens because it was just like, what the fuck? Why do I need two places? There's no need to go down there. And it's not, you know, I'm not far. So I just cruise in and out and I like it. It gives me time to kind of decompress. You know, and it's, and also, I mean, any drive I make would be the distance on a train that's going to break or fucking get stuck under the river. That's where my panic sets in, Harry, when you're on the train and it gets stuck in the river. And you're
When it stalls or there's a delay.
Going from Queens to, you know, Upper East and the train stops, you know, and then it's like stuck underwater. And I said,
is that like really a concern for you that it's stuck underwater? Not just that it's stuck and you're going to be late, but it's that you're stuck underwater.
Underwater. Yeah. I don't like tunnels. I like bridges. I don't like tunnels, but I'm like, all right. So if I have to kill, you just like look around and it's like, if this train. If this is it, do you ever do that? Like you're on a train car and you're like, if this was humanity and it was up to me to, you know, kill someone.
Who am I going
to
eat?
Or procreate,
who am I going to eat first?
Yeah, who am I going to eat? Who am I going to throw through the window?
Not on a train car. like, because of the underwater
and
thing.
How long
the
train ride? A half hour?
Maybe 10 minutes.
That's weird. Yeah. If the express goes local, Mike is like, all right, who do I got to take out?
I'll be okay.
We are rerouting. And Mike is sharpening his blade. I'm looking for that dude.
That's it. I'm looking for pencils to sharpen. But Yeah, we're good. It was fun to do you know, not fun to do the pandemic together, but it was definitely better than not doing it.
Doing it alone.
Yeah. She was working, you know, hard. Was she a nurse? She was in the, full, you know, through the entire thing. I mean, it was kind of a crazy experience to see it through her perspective.
Right.
And then, you know, you got like other people get COVID and they're like, yeah, it was a cold. It's not that big a deal.
Right, right.
And then other people are like, it's not real. And it's like, no, it's fucking real. But it's like everybody's perception is reality. So seeing it.
Right.
And I'm just home like panicking. Like, what the fuck do I do? You know what I mean? Right. I want to help her as best I can, but literally hands are tied. So
how much
hard.
Of the success of the relationship do you think was the distance? Or do you genuinely realize that you really like each other and like each other's company?
Well, that we realized, like, so after I went back, I think that both played a very important part at the times at which they were happening.
Okay.
Do you understand what I mean? So like,
yeah.
I think that the distance thing, realizing we can make it through that was, you know, I mean, we don't have kids. We don't want kids. We're both career driven. Right. We both kind of just, you know, old enough that we were like, you do your thing, I'll do mine and enjoy our time together. But then getting back together and hanging out a ton, we kind of like started dating again. And it was like, wow, we actually really dig each other. Like we hanging and like, you know, spending time and, you know, and seeing what she went through and, you know, all that, you know, getting the, I mean, dude, the shifts that she had to fucking work and just getting, you know, but yeah, it was, that part was great for then, you know what I mean? And now, so it's, it's interesting. She's cool. I'm very, glad that things worked out the way that they did. And, you know, this gig, you got to kind of go all in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
It's actually kind of funny. I remember a long, long time ago, and I don't remember what comic it was, somewhere on the road. And I was telling him that I was engaged. And he was like, why are you going to drag somebody else into this shit existence?
Right.
You know? And I was like, you know, of course, headstrong and like, what are you talking about? Oh, it's going to be fine. And he's like, everybody fucking, you know, families get destroyed, blah, blah, this and that. Do her a favor and let her go now. And I'm like, all right, brother. Well, good chatting with you.
Jesus, that's very
negative. Am I supposed to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, what are you supposed to say to that? Well, I'm glad you had this.
You're not
going to
go, hey,
with me.
I spoke to this degenerate on the road and he said we probably shouldn't get married. So
spoke to a guy sleeping in his car tonight and he told me to tell you.
Yeah,
you should probably
it's not
going to
work. It's really not going to work. Yeah,
but no, it's crazy. She's great. She's cool.
Yeah, I think also it's the fact that she like loves what she does, and I know you were telling me that, but how she loves what she, and she's career driven. This is what she wants to do, and the fact that you know, Harry and I talk about this all the time. There's so many comics that are miserable, you know, because they act like comedy's a side bitch. It's like comedy's a side chick, and it's really not. It has to be your wife. Like comedy is your wife, and your wife is the side chick, because this is how you earn money. You know, this is how you provide. I know that's really difficult, and it's also very difficult for somebody to have that kind of for you to have that kind of passion about something when somebody doesn't have that kind of passion, or when you and your relationship is their passion instead of their own life and their own existence, you know? So it's just interesting.
I don't think it would have worked out if it was just some person. Like, I think that it's important that it's her and it's important that it's me. You know what I mean? Like that part, I don't think that I could totally see how things don't work out. And, yeah. You know, I mean, and I'm my own, like, you know, talking about like what Harry was saying, like trying to focus more on the positive, you know, like there's, you know, it's so easy to be miserable. Yeah. Even when things are great, even when that calendar's packed.
Yeah.
It's because so then easy you, to
then
find
you get upset
shit.
That you don't have the time. You're like, I'm constantly moving around. You can find a way to be negative. Like, I'm sick of traveling. I'm sick of being on the planes. And then, you know, you can go back and forth on all of those things.
Yeah. And even start, you know, and even like, you know, now I feel like I have a little bit of a different perspective on it after the pandemic because I'm just happy to be doing anything.
Yeah.
I was having a fucking hard time, man. It was like just having like your wheels stuck in the mud. For 2 years, you know? So now I have a different perspective. I'm just happy to be doing it. But
can I ask you something, Mike? She's a nurse, right? You're saying. Mm-hmm. And so that's a hectic schedule. As a comedian, you have a crazy schedule. How do you balance that out between the two? Because I know that can be difficult just when somebody has a 9-to-5 and you're a comic and you're a comedian.
I think just like taking each week as a new week, like as nothing's going to be, it's not. You know, the whole idea of forever is such a weird thing because it's like the only constant is change, right? So I think if we realize that like every week's going to be different, then there's no pressure on like having, well, last week it was like this and you had spots on Monday. Why are you doing on Tuesday? Or how come you're working a late shift at the hospital? No, it's just you do it. You do. I do what I do. We know by now that our schedules are fucked. So what we try to do is each week or each, you know, however, whatever segment of time, month, whatever, we just make sure that we're carving out a little bit of time for us. You know what I mean? Yeah. If it's not putting in for a day or two for spots or making sure that I keep a certain night free or same with her. And it's just a matter of kind of like it. I think saying I don't know is like the most important thing. So it's like just, you know, I'm going to try to find as much work. And then there's times where she'll throw something that's like, you know, hey, I really want to do this, this and that. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have to work. Like, and that's just my first thing. So it's it's just a matter of kind of taking each.
It's also that her not taking it personal because what you're
she's
doing
way
is
tougher than me, man. So it's like, I mean, not taking it personal is 100% true. And I think it's explaining and seeing that it's like, you know, I'm doing this for money, for work, for more opportunity, for stuff like that. It's not to go hang out till 3 a.m. and get wasted and, you know, all that shit. You know what I mean? Like it's, it's the passion and it's what, you know, I'd be miserable if I wasn't doing it. So, you know, but,
And part of the camaraderie and the hanging out is part of it too, though. I mean, you know, that, and I think the other thing, the other difficult thing is that a lot of times some women have a problem with you having fun, you enjoying your life, because it's almost like it's an offense to them because you're enjoying your life and maybe they're not. Or how dare you have fun without me? You know, that could be so it's got to be one of the things that I realized more than anything is, you know, and people say this all the time, but they talk about the honesty of it, right? The honesty of it and the acceptance of what that outcome is. I think there are things that people assume is part of a relationship that other people don't assume that it's part of a relationship. And then because you're going into these assumptions, you go, hey, I need to say this. And so one of the things that I've been advocating and I've been talking about on the show a lot is that everything needs to be verbalized. You can't make an assumption that somebody gets what you're talking about. So like, for instance, one of the things is, you know, like you get married and you know, guys will always assume that there's going to be sex. Right. And there are so many sexless marriages because it gets to the point where a woman will look, I want to be married. I want you to be monogamous. And then I don't want to fuck you. Or I don't want to fuck you if I don't want to fuck or when I feel like it, or because there's so much distance, because we don't do these other things, I don't feel like fucking you. And so I, you know, one of the things that I tell guys, they're engaged and you're married, you need to say, look, it needs to be said. You would think it doesn't need to be said, but it needs to be said. Understand this. If I get married to you, that I'm expecting to get fucked for the rest of my life, that we are going to. And you would think, oh, that's just the assumption. And then so many guys that I counsel over and over again, who are in situations where they end up in these sexless marriages. And the prerequisite to be like, look, understand this. I love you and I want this with you. But if I'm not getting fucked, the response is either we're going to break up or I'm going to go get fucked. But I'm not going to argue with you and fight. This is, and it goes back to something I've said a long time ago, which is know your non-negotiables and then never negotiate them. But you got to be honest about what your non-negotiables are. And if sex is, guys automatically think, oh, sex is just the prerequisite. But women don't think that. A lot of times women are like, you find this so often. I was watching this woman who, some woman who was doing, she was like, she was hanging out with a girlfriend and she says, oh, the light's on, go around the corner. Let's go get some ice cream. Cause she's, if I go in now, he's going to want to fuck. And then she's like, well, why don't you want to fuck your husband? I just don't want, but I realized that being a, there are things that I think that men understand about marriage, which is providing and keeping you safe and all those things. Those are things that we already know that's what the expectation is, because it's really not different for anybody. If you're a guy who's a loser, who's not providing and keeping a woman safe, we know that we all know that you can get left, that she will leave if you're not I don't think it's, but I think women don't always, because men don't always speak up about what is, and I think the intensity of that. This is what is okay with me. This is how much sex I expect to get in this marriage. And I think you have to open your mouth and say that. Because if it doesn't come to that, doesn't get to that, now you're in this marriage and you're resenting somebody because, a lot of times we as men, our intimacy and our emotions is through that physicality. We express it through our physicality. And I think it's important to say that,
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Yeah, the honesty part, the expectations are important to maintain, whatever those expectations are. I know in past relationships, I've had situations where I know I've been having arguments with, consistent arguments. And I go, well, this is no good. We can't do this. Well, what do you mean? Well, I mean, we can't go a couple of days without arguing. It's like, does that mean it's over? And like, no, doesn't mean it's over. But just so you know that this is not acceptable for me. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to continue like this. I want to work on it. I want to fix it. But I don't want to do a relationship where we're fighting every 5 to 7 days or once a week. That's not, fighting once a week to me is not good. And I don't know. Maybe
it's not a viable.
It's not for me. It's not.
And also when it comes down to when you're just arguing about the argument.
Yeah.
Right.
And then it's like, we're like two levels deep of dumb shit. Like now we don't even remember
what we were talking about,
what the initial thing was about. And then that part's when it's like, all right, this is just not. This just isn't right. And I think honesty, it, especially, why wouldn't you be honest about all things if you're going to be, diving into spending forever with someone? You know what I mean?
Yeah, whatever that is. Yeah.
Whatever that is. You know what I mean?
I kind of feel like we should have to renew marriage like driver's license.
Like iPhone updates?
Every 3 years you got to renew.
Terms.
I think that it's kind of that's an interesting concept, Dante, because I wonder about like we said, the only thing that's constant is change, right? So in the beginning, maybe you go, all right, I want to get married because personally or whoever, you know, like someone says,
right,
I want to get married because of A, B, and C. Mm-hmm. And then you get married and you're married 5 to 7 years or whatever. Maybe that A, B, and C changes. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, maybe now I want to travel a ton. Well, you want to stay home. Or maybe I want to do this. Maybe you want to do, you know, it's interesting how like you can go from being like dating to being friends. You could go back to being friends, but you can never go from being married.
From friends to back to dating.
Married back to dating. Or, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of interesting, but I think that the whole thing of like, we never had a boredom. Mm-hmm. We've never had kind of like just this sort of, you know. Yeah, the old.
How long you been doing comedy? How long you been doing comedy though?
12, 13.
So you were like 2-3 years in when you met her.
About a year. We dated for a bit, and then but I kind of was right away like, I'm doing this, and you know, like I definitely was. I think I'm my own worst enemy though, because I got in my own head where it's like, I don't want to, like that guy, kind of like similar to what that dude on the road was saying, where it's like, you know, you got to sort of be untethered when you're doing this to start with, because you have to treat it like, you know, you got to attack it. You got to,
well, there's no,
it's availability in the beginning.
It's not like you get a degree. Here's the syllabus. You do this. There's no roadmap. So you're constantly navigating your career on any level at any given time, always and forever, you know? So it's a living, breathing thing that you're trying to wrangle, you know?
The other thing, when you talk about why wouldn't you want to be honest? I think for some guys, for a lot of guys, it's the problem is when you're honest, if that answer isn't appreciated or it doesn't vibe with what that other person wants, then it becomes sort of this argument and this fight, and guys don't want to deal with that. But you have to deal with that. You can't put it off, unfortunately. Unfortunately, you got to go through those things to solve those issues. Or if they can't be solved, you reach the conclusion that they can't be solved, then you have to move on. But you have to have those arguments. And it's hard for that's, I think that's where people get caught in not being honest, because they want to avoid the argument.
I also think that people are not being honest because they're shoplifting the pussy. You know, they're in a spot that they don't have. They don't have the personality capital to purchase this person that they're with, and they're in over their head, or at least they believe they're in over their head. And so they feel like they need to misrepresent who they are so that the person doesn't ever see who they really are, because they feel like if the person knows who I really am, then they're going to leave. And so we misrepresent who we are, because we're in a situation where we honestly think that emotionally, if not emotionally, just, you know, value wise, we're in over our head. So I've seen this so many times where a guy will be with this super hot girl, and because he perceives that her hotness is more important than his existence, he's lying and conniving, and it's an interesting also thing where like I'll get calls with guys. I met this girl and I you know, I really like her and I hit her up, but she didn't hit me back. Like, what do I do? And I'm like, you have to give me a scenario. Like, I can send plays into the game, but we got to be playing the game. If she's forfeited and never showed up at the field, you can't make people do what they don't want to do. Right, so what you're asking me to do is to strategize, find a way to say the right thing to get her on the field. And the bottom line is the fact that she's not really in it in the first place means that she's not interested. And you got to be honest with yourself about that. And that doesn't diminish your value. I know that's easier said than done. People go, well, she doesn't like me, so it doesn't diminish my value. But it doesn't. Maybe she just wants something different.
It's every situation is so, you know, so unique and so different, and it'll start one way and become something totally different a couple years down the road, I guess. I don't know. It's fucked up. But I couldn't imagine like not just being with this thing, with like, with, you know, comedy's a thing where you kind of got to just be like, listen, it's gonna, I'm gonna
you
miss
do it
holidays.
You cannot. You
I'm gonna
do
miss
it
holidays.
You cannot.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna miss, you know, a birthday here and there. I'm gonna miss, you know, but what's a calendar, right? Like, can't we go to dinner the day after or the day before? You know, and I, you know, maybe it's, you know, going back to what we were talking about a little while ago, like her being extremely busy and extremely dedicated to her craft and getting better and better at it. You know, it's like we both kind of have that that drive. So,
It's tough. It's tough.
Pretty lucky.
You're lucky in that sense for sure, because she has her own thing that she can focus on. But it's almost unfair though that in order to get that understanding, that your partner has to have that. You know, you're lucky, but not everyone has that. You know?
And I think that's a great thing, but I think it's also not just that. But let's Mike, you want to plug your podcast and your stuff real quick? We're going to do something on the Patreon behind the scenes if you can. Anything you got coming up that you want to plug real quick?
Oh, yeah. You can check out my podcast. It's called Comes a Time. It's on every – we drop new episodes on Friday. You could hear it anywhere.
What kind of podcast is it?
It's a I co-host it with Oteil Burbridge. He's the bass player from the Allman Brothers and Dead & Company. We talk about – I mean, everything. How did we get here and where do we go from here is kind of like the theme. And it's music, comedy, mental health, psychedelics, you name it. And it's a lot of fun. And MikeFinoy.com for my dates. I'm going to be doing New Year's Eve at Mohegan Sun Comics.
Dope.
And I'll be updating new dates on there. So thank you. Appreciate it.
Dope. Harry, talk to me.
Hey, you could find all my stuff at Harry Turjanian. Also, I'm doing consultations, so if you need any relationship or life advice, you could reach me via email, advicefromharry@gmail.com.
Everything, Google me, bitch. You know what it is. Also, one-on-one consultations, DanteNimmer.com. Click on consult. Don't forget to follow the Patreon. Y'all supporting us helps us keep doing this. It's the only way that we keep doing it is by that. So we appreciate that. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted. Yo, I love y'all. Check us out on the Patreon side. I'll holla at you later.